I want to read from Joshua chapter 3. I'm reading verses 5 through 17. And then I want to share just a thought with you that I hope will encourage you as well as in the King James, it says, provoke one another to good works. So I hope that it encourages you, but also provokes you. Amen. Joshua 3, verse 5, it says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priest carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam or Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the sea of Arabah, of the Arabah and the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. One of the things about the scriptures is that often we read a passage of scripture, we read a story, something that's been reported in the scriptures, and we benefit from it, but we can only benefit from it so much because there's so much more in it than what we just read. What we just read took about, I don't know, 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes at the most to read that. But you have to know all that's wrapped up in this to get some of the gravity of it even being written in the scriptures. So let me, for context. Was that a shofar? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. Actually, turn off the, no, I'm going to help you here. Turn off the Samsung up there. Yeah, just cut those off, both of them. Everything but this mic, and we should be good. All right, y'all with me? Okay, I need you to stay focused even while I'm endeavoring to stay focused, okay? Context, historically, context. In crossing the Jordan, Adam or Adam was 20 miles away from where they were crossing. 20 miles away from where they were crossing. Meaning that when they stepped into the water, it looked like nothing happened. It looked like nothing had changed. It was going to take some time. It was going to take some time. By faith, they stepped in the water, and it says when their feet touched the edge of the water stopped. But that wasn't enough. They were going to have to get out in the water, say in the water. What you don't often recognize is 2.5 million people were crossing. 2.5 million people were crossing. It took 29 days to cross it. I want you to think about that for a moment. Now remember, those 20 years and older died in the wilderness. You can read that. 20 years and older died in the wilderness. Which means by the time they were crossing over, there were only two people above the age of 59. That was Joshua and Caleb. Think about that. See, 19 and under made it there through the 40 years. So the age range of that group was from 0 to 59, 2.5 million people crossing over a range of, some say, 100 to 200 feet. The water, the highest it has ever been, the banks were overflowing, and the priests are told, we need you to step into the water, and the water will stop. The challenge with that is the water didn't, like when the Red Sea parted right there. Everybody could see it. But when they stepped into this water, it didn't part there. It stopped 20 miles away. And so you'll see on the screen, this is the thought I want to just kind of develop. Are we there yet? You better recognize. Now, how many of you know what that term means when you say you better recognize? What does that mean? It means you better understand it. Well, and it's an urban term, you better recognize. You know, I could see Rhonda saying that to one of her kids, you better recognize. You probably said it a little differently back. Yeah. Hey, did we turn those off? Do a little troubleshooting for me. I know my sister said that's a shofar, but let's is that, yeah, turn off the monitors. Is Gary's amp on over there? Gary, it's not your amp, is it? Is your amp on? Okay. I'm trying to eliminate all distractions. Amen. Because I'm telling you, I had enough of them this week, or they tried to be distractions. Thank you. We'll see if that helps us out. The term you better recognize, really, one statement is you're relaying the importance of realizing what is happening in real time. Sometimes when people say you better recognize, they're like, you better recognize my authority. You better recognize. As a matter of fact, remember in the scriptures when Jesus is standing for Pilate and Pilate says, I have the power to take your life. Jesus could have said, you better recognize. Now, what Jesus did say, though, was, no man can take my life. I lay my life down. He was just simply helping him to understand, don't get it twisted. Okay, what's happening needs to happen. And you're part of the plan. But let's not get it twisted here. One of the challenges that I believe we're in right now, I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm talking about us where we are, is we must recognize who we are, whose we are, and we got to recognize where we are. You see, when Israel was crossing over, 40 years had gone by. You can imagine the age range and how many of them had to navigate through that, because you see, those 20 and over knew they weren't going in. They knew they weren't going in. Isn't that something to think about? They knew they weren't going in, yet they had the responsibility of stewarding and raising up a generation to be prepared to go in. I need you to hear what I'm saying when I'm talking about, are we there yet? You need to recognize, because you see, for some of us, it's no longer about you. My question to you is, why aren't you there yet? Why aren't you there yet? Meaning, how long is it going to take for you to recognize you got it? You got the goods. When God began to speak to Joshua, he said, I am going to, listen here, he says, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Why would he need to say that? Because they had lost their trust in God. Many of them were raised by parents who knew they had no future after 40 years, and so some of them just kind of checked out. Others, I believe, said, I need to help you be ready. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I need to help you be ready. I need you to recognize that you're going to be one that's going to go into the promise. You're going to be one to benefit from the promise. They're out there for 40 years. Lessons to be learned. When we read through the scriptures, we see how God continually worked miracle after miracle in taking care of them and providing for them. We have to recognize and not miss the moment and the moments. It is out of a very immature place. You know how you can do those road trips. And you got the kids in the back seat or nieces and nephews, and you know you're traveling somewhere, and you drive so far, and what do you start to hear? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Now, what it says a number of things. One, it means that they don't have the patience or the maturity to recognize it's going to take time to get there. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? There's many in the body of Christ that are still living out of that space. Are we there yet? And what I'm here to say to some of us, and maybe many of you under the sound of my voice, you really are there. You need to recognize. You're there. You couldn't be any more there than being there right now. But you got to recognize. You got to recognize who you are, whose you are, and where you are. See, one of the things about the immature person on the trip that keeps saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? What's happening for them is they're missing the moments. They're missing the things that you learn along the way. They're missing the scenic route. to be able to see some things, hear some things, capture some things along the journey so that when you arrive, you're prepared. You should arrive in a place in your life where you can say, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. I know some things because of what I've been through. Somebody was asking me in a very different way, or let me say it differently. Sometimes people will look at you and they will see what you're dealing with, the challenges that come with your yes to God, and they begin to pose questions like, well, why is that? Did you think about that before you said yes? Did you know it was going to be this hard? Did you know it was going to be this challenging? Did you do all your fact-finding? I need you to understand something. When it comes to faith, you're only going to have so many facts to go along with it. Now, you just have to know that because the scripture makes it clear that the just must live by faith. Now, facts are good. Information is good. But you're only going to get so much. And so there's times when we can be in this space. And here's what I want to say to some of you that are challenged right now in your assignment. You're challenged right now because God has you in a place, and it's more challenging than you ever thought it would be if you ever thought at all about the challenges that would come along with it. And I was thinking about this a little earlier, and it's like I saw these angels that are on assignment for you, on assignment for me. And I most believe you got two angels. I think I got 12. That's just me, but all on various assignments. But I can imagine the moment I begin to think and doubt. I can hear one angel saying to another, oh, you know, he don't know who he is. Listen to what he's saying. He doesn't know who he is. Doesn't he recognize why he was chosen? Don't you recognize why you were chosen? He doesn't realize. He chose him because he knew he wouldn't quit. He chose her because he knew she would never back down. He chose them because he knew with what he put into them, none of them would ever fold. Are we there yet? We better recognize. I need about five more people to clap with my sister right there. I'm trying to say something in a way, in a vernacular that hopefully you can hear what I'm saying. You have to arrive in a place where you say, I'm there, I got it, I'm good. I'm there, I got it, I'm good. You need to say it, come on.
I'm there, I got it, I'm good.
God chose you for that assignment because he knew that you wouldn't quit. He chose you because he knew that you wouldn't compromise. He chose you. You better recognize. You got to be able to recognize who you are, whose you are, where you are. You can't live. Nah, I won't say can't. I don't want to use that word. You don't want to live your life in a space of always learning, but never coming to the knowledge, never coming to the experience of it, the experiential part of it that settles it for you. These last 30 days have been an onslaught of the enemy. For many of us, and I made up my mind. Matter of fact, I went back and read my own book. I pulled it out, started reading some of them quotes in it for myself. Same faith, same God, living in the realm of ridiculous faith. I can stand here before you now because I've seen a thing or two. And I know a whole lot about God. I know a whole lot about His ability to show up in power. When it seems like all hell is breaking loose. You see, the children of Israel crossing over, many of them, they were on autopilot for those 40 years. But what God was saying to Joshua is, now we're going to show him something, and I'm going to show him through you. Because for them, the question wasn't, are we there yet geographically? The question is, are you there yet spiritually? Are you there yet mentally? Are you there yet emotionally? Or are you tossed to and fro by every wind, by every storm? That speaks of immaturity. It speaks of immaturity. And if you live your life out in that space, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You will never get there. You will keep looking at others who appear to be there, and you keep thinking, one day I'll get there. And heaven is looking, saying, they didn't get it. Got there, didn't know they were there, so they never did what they could have done once they were there. You see, I believe we either live in the space where you either are on your way or you've already arrived. You're either on your way or you already arrived. I'm talking about in God, and I recognize, hear me clearly when I tell you, none of us are perfect. We are being perfected, and there's always things to learn, but there should be some things settled in you right now that are not questionable, not open for discussion, certainly not open for negotiation. When I signed on the dotted line for this property, I had no idea all that it would entail. But I didn't need to know all that it would entail. I just needed to know the one who assigned me to this. Because I absolutely believe that he said he's the one that won't quit. And for some of you, I'm saying, as tough as it is on your job, as challenging as it may be in your home, you've got to be the one that says, I don't quit. I'm not quitting. And everything that he's placed, all that has happened through years and years and years and years, have all prepared me to steward this weight. And then there is what's called weight distribution. So what God will do, particularly in something like this, he will set those around you who can also shoulder weight and responsibility. I thank God for the team that he's assembled here and those that have a sensitivity and a discernment to say, we need to pray for our apostle, because yes, some of you are aware of how challenging this past week was, but I made up my mind. I said, when I get up to preach, when I get up to lead worship, there will be no smell of smoke. There will not be any indication of anything ever going on. And that's the way you have to live as well. But you've got to settle that question. Are we there yet? And the Holy Spirit is saying, you better recognize who you are, whose you are, where you are. You're either on your way or you've already arrived. There are certain areas of your life that get settled. There's certain things in your life that are no longer in question. And those are the areas that God will use you in to help others, even as you continue to grow as well. Even as I continue to grow as well. So the calls that I'm getting to go to various areas for city reaching and kingdom advancement, that's already in the resume. That's already there. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the mug, got the hat, got the jacket, got the shoes.
And
the earring. Well, hold up now. All right. Yeah, that's for the sisters. I don't understand. Are you listening to me? Are you there yet? What place in your life can you look at and say, I'm there? I'm there. I'm there. That's settled. Now, this area, he's still working with me on. But here, I'm there. I'm there. So when I get the call and say, we got a challenge, I'm on my way. And then when I get here and I see what it is, I pray the same prayer I've been praying since 1997. Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? I look at my desk and there's a card sitting on my desk, and Holy Spirit says, call him. It's a holiday, it's Monday. Pastor Jamal and I, Brother Key, we're trying to figure this out. I make one phone call, and Holy Spirit begins to move. There's certain things, but you can't have things hit your life and you're, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Help me. Now, I am not speaking negatively about that kind of praying. Here's what I'm saying for some of us. I've learned not to let someone pull me into their emotional response. So it may look like I'm not interested. It may look like I'm in denial. It may look like I don't understand the whole gravity of the situation. He must not know really what we're dealing with here because he wouldn't be looking like he's looking. Well, no. I've just learned not to allow you to pull me into your emotional response. If anything, I'm going to help bring you into mine. See, that's what the prophet did for the widow woman who thought she had one meal and was going to die. Can you imagine when was it Elijah? Was it? He's at the brook dries up. He gets there. The widow woman's out gathering sticks. He says, can I get a little something to drink? Now, somewhere she got something to drink because she's going to get that. And then he says, can you make me a little cake and bring that back too? She stopped in her tracks. She said, I don't think you heard me. We only got enough for one cake. Me and my son, we're going to eat that and we're going to die. Had he allowed that response to pull him in? Oh, daughter, I'm so sorry. I wish, you know, that's a bad situation. I you've only got enough for just, okay, God bless you. No, he said, well, here's what you need to do. Word of the Lord to you. You make a cake for me first. He ain't listening to what she said. He's still saying, hear me when I tell you. Sometimes you got to stay on that page. I heard what you just said, but I'm not responding to that. I heard what you said the first time. Here's what I need you to do. You go make a cake for me, then make one for you and your son. And the Bible says she went and she did just that. You see, the man of God recognized who he was, who he belonged to, and where he was at. You have to know that thinking you're somewhere you're not, or thinking you're not somewhere that you already are, can both be problematic. Both have consequences. But what I'm wanting to help us with this morning, and I'm just going to go five more minutes and then pull this in. So in 5 minutes, James, you can start the music. Fade it up, if you would. Okay. Joshua had the task of helping them know all the 2.5 that were there is, we're here now. We made it. I want you to recognize we're here. We're crossing over. And this is what God's going to do to show us that he's with us. And that's why he was saying, I'm going to part this water the same way I parted the Red Sea, only a little different. Meaning, you're not going to see it part right in front of you. But when the priests step in the water, you see, sometimes we got to be willing to step in the water for the sake of the people. Some of us this week, we were stepping in the water for the sake of the people. Stepping in the water for the sake of everyone else crossing over on dry ground. Is it possible that God chose you because he knew you'd be willing to step in the water? And not just step in the water, but stay in the water until it receded. Stay right there. You see, they didn't just stand there till it was dry. They stood there till everybody got on the other side. One report said it was 29 days. 29 days. They stood out there in the middle of the Jordan until everyone crossed over on dry land. Are we there yet? You can hear some of the immature and the children saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Baby, we're as close as we're ever going to get. We're right here. We're walking this 5 hours, whatever it was. This was water. Honey, we're crossing over. It's dry now. Just keep walking. Yes, we're here. Yes, we're here. Yes, we're here. Yes, I'm here. And that is something that you have to get for yourself and then help others recognize. We are here. We are here. I don't want to keep talking about a move of God. I don't want to keep talking about it down the road. Are we there yet? Yes, we are. You better recognize signs, wonders, miracles, healing, deliverance. All is happening right now. And I'm hearing the host of heaven. I'm hearing angels saying, if they would only understand who they are, if they would only understand why they were the chosen ones, why they were the ones that God picked, they would recognize you're already there. You don't need another laying on of hands for you to start doing what you know to do, what God has called you to do. Instruction is good. Teaching is good. Equipping is good. But for some of you, you've been already there so long that nothing else can be done for you except to tell you you need to recognize. One of the things that we've got to recognize, here's what I say. All of my life prepared me for this. All of my life prepared me for this. You have to be able to say the same thing, no matter what your life looks like today. I'm talking about in God. Are we there yet? You better recognize. The moment you were born again, you were there. You arrived. Everything available in the kingdom is available to you the moment you are born again. The only thing that weighs in the balance at that point is your growth, your maturity, coming into a place of being responsible and being able to handle what's already made available to you. We are already here. I'm going to just say it. I'm already here. 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 Now, you need to recognize that life, the devil, your cousin, no, not your cousin, but folk will try to keep you from ever completely recognizing who you are, whose you are, and where you are. So you have to be wise in the people that are around you. You have to be wise in those who walk with you, because some will never see you in light of who God has called you to be. You can't spend all of your life trying to convince them of who you are, whose you are, and where you are. For some, you're just going to have to say, I love you. I'll see you when I see you. And if I don't see you, I'll see you in heaven. That's not writing people off. What it is doing is helping you to do something I wrote long ago, to walk confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority. Are we there yet? You better recognize. Because I am trying to convince you and those that are listening every experience you've walked through, every trial, every storm, every test, every sickness, infirmity, misunderstanding, loss and failures, successes and victories have all been working for your good and for His glory. And what He wants is you to recognize why He chose you. I chose you because I've watched you. And when it looked like you weren't going to make it, you called on my name. And I got you through it. And you learned from it. And you grew from it. And when you found yourself in the next situation and you were crying out for wisdom, you came to me and I gave you the wisdom. And you grew from it. And you kept going. And when you were afflicted in your body, you sought me. I brought answers and I brought healing to your body. And you're stronger and you're better for it. When your relationship fell apart, you didn't run from me. You ran to me and allowed me to hold you and to keep you until you worked through the pain and you worked through the disappointment. And you could get back up and walk on your own two feet. I chose you because I know what I put on the inside of you. I chose you because you demonstrated to me that you will never quit and that you will always seek my face. Are we there yet? I encourage you to recognize who you are, whose you are, and where you are. The crossing over the Jordan, the crossing over of the Jordan did not just signify they were there in the natural and geographically. They stepped into the reality of the covenant and all that God had for them 40 years earlier. Are we there yet? Recognize who you are, whose you are, and where you are. You can only listen to teachings and tapes for so long. Let me say it again. You can only listen to teachings and tapes for so long. Some of the tapes you're listening to, God has said, you already got that. You don't recognize that you do. And as long as you don't recognize it, you live in the space of thinking you need someone to teach you over and over and over. Are we there yet? Are you there? Thank you, Lord. Joshua led them into victory after victory after victory. He divided up the inheritance for each tribe. And then he said, you must go now and possess your inheritance. That's my closing word to you. Don't live your life out of, are we there yet? Am I there yet? Live your life out of, I am now possessing my inheritance. And I am fulfilling my purpose and my destiny. Hallelujah.